Welcome back to the PGM podcast. I'm joined with Mitch and Dal once again for another week of the PGM podcast. Some very exciting news to be announcing. We have joined the Pulse Podcast Network, which this is going to be an opportunity where the Pulse Podcast Network wants to have a podcast represented for every NBA team, for all NBA teams, and we are pumped to join that network. We'll give you a lot more information on that to come, but you can follow them on Twitter at Pulse Pod Network, and they'll be retweeting our stuff, liking our stuff, as we will be doing the same for them. We're joined with a bunch of other NBA podcasts. I've already been in contact with the Thunder representative on there, and I'm going to be jumping on there doing a podcast with them talking about Paul George. So what's it look like for the Thunders, for how the Thunder received him? What's it look like for, you know, how much, I mean, I was at the Boo game. So we'll go back and forth and talk on a bunch of stuff like that. I can't wait to see what this kind of partnership does for us.
Very cool.
Yeah. So pumped for that. And the second thing I would like to announce is that in the coming week or so, we will be having Pat Boylan on the show. So the Indiana Pacers sideline reporter. And so his fifth season in doing that. We're really, really excited. Just pick his brain. What's it like working for the Pacers? What's the, is, you know, as a guy who is not a player, what's it like to travel? What's that look like? Then some interesting questions that I really want to ask him. Do you get really excited in the middle of a game? Like, are you trying to hold back emotions as you're, you know, reporting on an injury, or you're reporting on the last second play, or a Nate McMillan timeout? Like, are you trying to be like, I know that this is double OT? Like, do you know what I mean? And then, of course, on Periscope, or just DM us at PGM Hoops. We want to know your questions. What do you have to ask Pat? We'll ask a question or two from what you guys send us. He's pumped. He's agreed to meet with us. And so I'm super, super excited. Let's get into it. What's one thing, boys? What's one thing that you just need to go on a rant about? I've got my thing. What's one thing that, listen, we like Mitch said in a tweet yesterday, we might as well do a podcast. It's basically all we talk about through text messages. Yeah. So what's one thing that you just want to rant about quickly about the Indiana Pacers?
Go for it, Mitch. Man, I don't want to touch too much of how the last five games went, because mm-hmm. I know that's going to be a lot of what we talk about, but that's a lot of what's on my mind. The big thing for me is the free agency, or sorry, the trade market, and mm-hmm. who should we be trading for and who should we not. And for the people who are in the PGM, my big rant is we are overvaluing the trade value of our players. Mm-hmm. We look at other players who are lottery picks, you know, say someone like a Brandon Ingram, why can't I think of his name? Celtics shooting guard.
Jaylen Brown.
You know, we got these two guys.
And TJ Leaf and first round.
And we look at them and we say things like TJ Leaf and a first round pick is going to get the job done. And that's just not going to happen. I mean, and so that's for those guys. But at the same time, I really do want to see us active. I don't think it's going to happen. I think both of the people with the keys to the teams for both the Pacers and the Colts are people that they're going to play it safe. They're going to build around the guys they've got. They're going to create a culture. They like who they have, and we're not going to see anything exciting happen.
Yeah.
But, man, as a fan, you just get excited when you think about the potential of a Kemba Walker or Bradley Beal. But it also, I mean, it could tank us too. You know, I mean, the worst-case scenario I think of is we get somebody like a Kemba Walker. I think somebody like Gilbert Arenas, where it's like he just, you know, basically dies out there on the court, and then for the next 6 years we're stuck with his contract, you know, at least paying him half the money. So, and we've never had that issue. Like, we've never had a player that got so hurt and we were so stuck with their contract. So, again, definitely a rant because I keep going on and on about it, but for me it's like I want to see us active, I want to see us make a move. But from the PGM fan side, man, I think we overvalue what we have to trade. We've definitely got some pieces that are worthwhile for some people, but I mean, we look at guys like Terry Rozier, and you know, we want to say, and this is gonna Aaron Holiday, you know, is better. Okay, we've seen Aaron Holiday play, like, you know, not even a hundredth of the minutes we've seen Terry Rozier play. And guess what? He was drafted earlier than Aaron Holiday. And we forget that stuff. And we think, would you, you know, what would it take to get a guy like that? And we're always thinking, oh, we're going to get it straight up. Or, and it's just not, it's just unrealistic. So that would be my rant right now.
Go ahead.
To go off that a little bit, I think you have to, as a Pacers fan in this moment, be content with what the roster looks like. I've recently jumped on the Bradley Beal train. Yeah. I think adding Bradley Beal to this roster at the right price would take this team to the next level. The issue is getting him at that right price. And part of it as a fan is the overvaluation of your own players comes from liking them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no one wants to trade Domas, no one wants to trade Bojan just because we like them so much. We don't want them to be on a different team. But in order to get that star player next to Vic and Miles, we're going to have to move someone that we like because that's who the other team likes.
And Dale, just like you're saying, when you say price, just to be clear, you're not talking contract price, obviously.
No.
Like, we know Kimba, when free agency rolls around, is going to probably be
a pretty
big, a max deal player. We're just talking, what do we have to give up to get
him? Yeah.
And okay, just my rant would be the opposite side of what Mitch was talking about, and it's just,
well, that's fine.
Calm down. Calm down and be happy where we're at.
24.
I think, other than when we text during games, the past week, almost everything we've talked about is free agency next summer or the trade market.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's just like,
it's that time of the year,
so hard,
though, man.
I know, but it's so hard for us to sit there because we get, I think Ethan does it the most. He'll randomly pop off this guy.
Yeah.
He'd be like, what do you guys think? And it's just like, well, I don't know. It's so, like, I haven't thought about that guy before. In order to get him, we'd have to move two other pieces just for him to have a spot, for an example, and things like that. So just to Al mentions this a lot. Happy with where we are. We're probably not going to win a title this year. But with the way the Western Conference is going, you never know who's going to come out of there. The Warriors are as
a team, I'm with you. Here's where I struggle with that because I'm happy with how we're playing overall. We are playing some great team basketball. What scares me is just the pieces. Mm-hmm. I'm very happy with our overall performance. I'm concerned that, okay, if we get too blocked into these guys, again, I mean, over half our team is on the final year of their deal. It's like the way the NBA works and the way being the Pacers works is we don't have a lot of people that are trying to come here.
Yeah.
So it's like, do we ride this so long that we get to the spot where it's like, okay, now we're sitting and we're looking around and we have nobody,
nobody's
at the table anymore.
We have to decide, are we going to be the Toronto or the Oklahoma City Thunder?
Yeah.
Like the Toronto said, we got to get Kawhi. We have 1 year left on his deal. Is he going to stay in Toronto? Maybe not, but we have to try. Now, I use OKC Thunder. It's peculiar that I use that because they got Paul George. I'm talking about when they just let Kevin Durant expire.
Yeah.
We're not going to get a Kevin Durant or Kawhi Leonard. I'm not saying that, but we have to make a decision. Are we going to jump the gun? I was listening to Adrian Wojnarowski's podcast just yesterday with two ex-NBA GMs, and their whole thing was, it was all about the trade deadline, and their whole thing was, it's way better to be too early than too late.
Yeah.
And even the right time is sometimes too late. So is a Kemba Walker, like you look for the Blake Griffin deal was a great example that I kind of did some research on. The Blake Griffin deal from the Clippers, they were too early and it was perfect. They signed him to that big contract. Remember, they signed him to that big extension. They traded him within the next month to Detroit. And now look what they're doing. They're doing that one thing that all teams are trying to do. How can you rebuild but also stay relevant? They're falling in the standings. I think they're sitting at seventh. By the way, random thought, but the Memphis Grizzlies just disappeared.
Yeah,
3-13 over their last 16 or something like that. Anyway, that's beside the point. But my point is, the Indiana Pacers did a great job of if you will, rebuilding while staying relevant with the Victrola defense.
Yeah, and that's where I try to measure my current feelings versus, like, where was I at last offseason? Mm-hmm. And I can give you a long list of players that I really wanted us to grab. One of them being, like, an Aaron Gordon. Now, could you imagine if we were able to get Aaron Gordon, locked him in at the contract we would have had to pay him to pull him away from Orlando? And it's like we would have been sitting here now, which Aaron Gordon's been kind of underproducing, stuck with him for 4 or 5 years, no talks of gaining any players in the offseason, no talks of growing as a team. And so I remind myself in that, like, okay, maybe Kemba or Beal would put us in that same scenario.
Yeah,
you know, they're better players.
There's two different scenarios with Kemba and Beal. If you get Kemba, and let's say you give up a Bojan or in a pick, or a TJ Leaf Bojan in a pick, or maybe it's somebody like Domantas Sabonis. If you give him up for Kemba, he is a rental. You're literally renting him. If you get Bradley Beal, completely different scenario. My Wi-Fi will load here. I had his contracts up here. He's locked in for the next 3 years, accelerating his payment from 25 to 27 to 29. So I mean,
That's not a bad contract.
It's not a miserable contract. He'd be the highest paid player on the Indiana Pacers. Right. Whatever, right? So
which is still not a lot.
No, it's so. Not. It's not. But I guess I'm asking the question: are we just going to wait it out? The thing is, Pritchard has put himself in such a great position with 7 expiring contracts.
He can do whatever he wants.
Pritchard can do whatever he wants in the offseason.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think he wants to hold the cards close. I think that he, probably rightfully so, wants to play whatever hand he has in the offseason and just cash in on all that brilliance that he did with Darren, that he did with Bojan Bogdanovic.
Yeah. I think with
Corey Joseph.
Part of his gameplay, going back to what you said, the whole getting another star here, that no one wants to come here. I don't think Pritchard knows that mm-hmm. people are routinely yeah. coming to Indiana.
Or ever. I mean,
right.
Jermaine O'Neal, that's basically
yeah.
it.
We know what happened. Our last two big name free agents are Tyreek Evans and Monte Ellis.
Yeah, and Monte Ellis.
Well, I would say, too, though.
Funny how they've been very similar.
David West coming to the Pacers was a bit of a surprise.
Because he had
other options on contenders, and he saw us as a contender at the time.
My point being, Pritchard knows that we're not going to sign Kevin Durant this offseason.
Oh, yeah.
He knows we stood no chance at signing LeBron James this past offseason. And guys of that caliber.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
What he does think, I believe, is that he can get a guy like Chris Middleton or like Tobias Harris or someone who's nearing that all-star level or who might be a 1 or 2-time all-star, not a perennial superstar like a Kemba Walker
mm-hmm.
or a Bradley Beal or someone who's going to be a free agent this summer like Bradley Beal, but someone like Tobias Harris, Chris Middleton, to come in and sign a contract with this team.
Yeah, we've had this PGM rant, but Bojan is better than Chris Middleton.
That's the problem.
Right. He's a big name.
Just sign Bojan again, right?
I've said this multiple times. It's you re-sign Corey Joseph. Ideally for me, it's you re-sign Corey Joseph, you re-sign Bojan.
Yeah.
You use your bird rights on Thad after you've signed, ideally, Tobias Harris.
Yeah. Last thing before we move on, because again, this is what happens when we open with rants. We could rant for 45
yeah.
minutes if we kept
going. I'll end with mine.
Oh, Luke's going to call the ending right now.
Well, because I haven't.
Oh, okay.
I didn't do mine.
Okay. You didn't give it a rant. Yeah. Well, that's fine. Yeah.
But my rant will lead perfectly into the 5 games.
That sounds good. All right. So the last thing I want to say is this. We act like, sometimes when we talk about Pritchard and these moves, we act like Pritchard doesn't have, you know, any backbone. And so, like, and this is what I'm saying. When it came, this is where I was surprised. You know, sometimes I feel like Pritchard's just kind of sitting on his hands waiting for it all to happen.
Mm-hmm.
That's not really what's happening.
He's always.
We saw with Thad in the offseason, you know, when Thad was debating if he was going to sign his player option or not and went pretty public with it, we saw the Pacers basically say, look, like, you've been good to us, but we're not telling you you're coming back.
Yeah.
You know, and we're not telling you that you're coming back at more money. You know, mm-hmm. we remember watching all that. And I was impressed with that because there was some forethought to that. It was like, look, you can come back at 10 mil a year, but we're not necessarily bringing you back for more than that. What did we see Thad do? Thad resigned. You know, Thad picked up his option.
And
Thad,
he's had a little bit of a contract here.
And I think that has to do with Pritchard. I think that has to do with just, I mean, he's not just sitting waiting for it all to fall to him. I'm not saying you guys are saying that. I'm just making it clear that, man, we are huge fans. We just envy his job so much that all we do is think about what are the moves that we want him to make, what are the actions we would take. Like, he is absolutely crushing it.
Yeah. I mean, I agree.
Pacers in great hands.
I agree. So my rant that's going to quickly lead us into the deep study, if you will, of the last five-game road trip we were just on. I commented on one of Sam Amick's kind of feeds, and I asked this question. Are the Pacers elite, right? I said the Pacers sit at 28-14, but have the easiest schedule and continue to lose top-tier teams like Toronto, Boston most recently. I said, what are your thoughts? And Sam Amick of the Athletic replied, and he says this: I'm very impressed by what they've done, and Nate McMillan doesn't get talked about enough for Coach of the Year, but I still have them as a notch below the Bucks, Raps, and C's. So I tend to agree with him. The problem is I think there's three tiers in the East. There's four tiers in the East. There's the Bucks, Raps, C's, and that's tier one. Tier two is Philly and Indy. That's the only people in that tier. Tier three is the rest of the playoff picture, and tier four is outside of the playoff picture. I just don't like ESPN right now has us as at the power rankings as fifth. We're not the fifth best team in the NBA, and so we have to make a decision. Now, are we just going to stay? Hold, like I said, is Pritchard just going to hold his cards in his hand, and we're going to be maybe a second round playoff team at the best? Or are we going to try to make a run at it now, at least at the Eastern Conference Finals? Because in my opinion, if you look at it, Boston's not falling apart at the seams. But Adrian Wojnarowski just recently tweeted this morning that Kyrie is not as, you know, as his job is not as secure in Boston as everybody thinks it is. Like, there is some liquidity in there. There is some option to move him, and there he is blaming some of the young guys for not knowing. Now, he's a vet, and he has knowledge on how to get to the title or how to get to the finals and all this, right? But, I mean, Jaylen Brown commented on his comment. Jason Tatum just commented on his the young guys comment. And so, I mean, it's not like Boston's holding necessarily steady.
I want to say something about especially this thought of, because at the beginning of the year was the four teams in the East, and really until the past week and a half or so, have you seen that conversation adapt to what the Pacers have done a little bit? Two things that it's hard for us not to react to because it's what we look for, and it's because the Pacers were never talked about in that conversation. It's every time we play one of those teams, it's, well, what happens in that game is law, and there's nothing that we can expect to happen otherwise when we play these guys again. And two is what the media thinks the week after or a few days after when they announce these power rankings. So first of all, we lost to Toronto by 16, and we lost to the Celtics by 27. Both were on the road, and the Celtics game was on the second night of the back-to-back, and both of them were without Miles Turner. Mm-hmm. Those are three in the Celtics case and two in the Toronto case that are huge, glaring L's for the Pacers before we take the court, in my opinion. So even the past few seasons, as much as the Raptors have dominated us in Toronto, mm-hmm. I mean, we haven't dominated them in Indiana, but I'd be shocked if I don't know the numbers, but I'd be shocked if we lost more than a couple games the past 3 or 4 years to Toronto in Indy. I feel like we beat them every time in Indy. The Boston and the Pacers have had great games every single time they've played, except for this past one, the past two seasons. Mm-hmm. And as much as I don't want to be the guy like, everyone calm down, we're going to be okay, The Pacers are good. They're going to get to the finals and win it all this year. Like, that's not what I'm saying.
Right.
But we didn't have Miles Turner in game, who statistically is the best shot blocker in the league this year. And then we've seen how our defense has fallen off without him. Both are on the road in the midst of a 5-game road trip. We do need to look at those games and say, what does that tell us?
Mm-hmm.
But what we can't do is, because of those games, say, we are so far behind these teams, we need to go trade for Bradley Beal now. Or something of that nature.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. One thing that you mentioned that I kind of would hate to see is, do we make a play to get to the Eastern Conference Finals now? Like, almost saying, like, is the Eastern Conference Finals our title? Mm-hmm. And I would hate for that to... I would hate for Pritchard, and I don't think he ever would, to make a move to say, I want to get to the Eastern Conference Finals this year. And, like, mm-hmm. that's his end goal. Nope. Knowing that wouldn't be his thought process, mm-hmm. I would hate for a move like that to be made for anybody's team. You never want a move to be made without the end goal being championship.
You do hear, I'm with you, but you hear a lot of talk in the NBA about that, because if you can get to the conference finals, I mean, this is obvious, but it's like your chances of getting to the championship are greater. Mm-hmm. And you win the conference finals, now it's just 7 games. Mm-hmm. You know, and so,
yeah,
I think that's why, like, there's so much talk about that, but you're right. I mean, we sometimes that is the bummer of being a Pacers fan, is you're fearful if we tank, you know, too far.
It's the difference between the Pacers and the Celtics in terms of a franchise. Yeah. Is we're going to have, like, you think back to the Paul George team, from like 2011 to 2014, we had like a 3 or 4 year window.
Mm-hmm.
And as Pacers fans, it's like, holy crap, like, we need to go win the title.
Yeah.
And now with Vic and this team, it's like really starting, I hate to include this year. Probably starting next year, we're going to have about another 3 or 4 year window.
Mm-hmm.
With the cap space that we have, with the roster that we currently have, with the coaching staff we have,
mm-hmm.
we're going to have about 3 or 4 years to really go do something. Mm-hmm. And in those 3 or 4 years, based on your past comment, what is Pritchard going to do? Is he going to want to get to the Eastern Conference Finals for 3 years, or is he going to go and win a title?
Yeah, I think... Before we get, like, we got to get into these.
Let's jump to the 5 games here after this.
Yeah, I think the problem is you got to pay Domantas Sabonis in the future. You have to keep a guy like Bojan on your roster. You have to sign another guy that's going to help us play well. You got to keep Thad on the books if you want a starting four, or you move without him, but you can't play Miles and Sabonis in big minutes. The Eastern Conference Finals is our finals. And that's okay to me. Was the Paul George, Hibbert, David West era a success? Absolutely. I'm sitting sixth row at watching the Indiana Pacers, and what that playoff series against the East, the Heat, that first big LeBron James, playoff series in Indy, that's changing the way Indiana thinks about the Pacers. It is our finals. Let's do whatever we can to get there, because Vic, I mean, we have Vic locked up. We have Miles locked up. Pretty much it. I mean, in terms of where we want to be. Sabonis is going to have to be paid once his rookie salary comes up. All that stuff. So
I'm going to meet you in the middle. It's not our finals. It is it is a great goal. We get there. We're going to be ecstatic.
Right. I'm saying we should definitely.
Yeah.
Eastern Conference Finals and just take it for anything else.
Exactly. No, but. But that's your, in my opinion, setting out to each season, your goal is the conference final.
Yeah, you got to have a
goal. Right now, this team lost in 7 in the first round to LeBron James.
Yeah.
Their goal, honestly, their immediate goal should be home court advantage in the first round and winning a first round playoff series.
Yes.
But that should not be their season goal.
Right.
Yep.
So, and moving forward, that should not be what Pritchard hopes to accomplish.
All right, so we played 5 games
in
7 days. Right, if I'm correct on that, opened with the Bulls game.
All road games, obviously.
All road games, which, man, was a bummer, because this was a week that I really could have got to a lot of Pacer games, and I was so bummed.
Yeah.
So we play the Bulls game 1. That game ended in a shootout.
Yeah, overtime game. Zach LaVine, Lauri Markkanen.
They went
splashing.
That was the end of that game.
Funny point about that game. Watching that, the Bulls jumped out to like a 30-15 lead.
Yeah.
And Zach LaVine had 17 first quarter points.
Yeah, he looked fire.
And I was texting Kyle Cox in Pacers group message saying, here we go again, Zach LaVine career night.
Yeah.
And then he literally disappeared.
Yeah, but you
and
know, until the end of the game.
Minutes,
hey, yeah, until the last 3 minutes of the game.
To hold the theory true, who had the career high in assists? Chris Dunn.
Exactly.
He had a double-double. And
16
he had
assists.
He had 16 assists. Like, to, like, the theory holds true that Dallas Harris loves to comment on, that someone is going to have a breakout game against us. At some point, it's got to be our defensive fault. I mean, at some point, right?
Someone brought that up to me, because I talk basketball with three other guys, and I mentioned when we lost to the Celtics, I said the Celtics would shoot 60% against the Pacers.
Yeah. But we don't guard the three well.
And that's part of it. And one of them said, he was joking with me, he was like, at what point does it not become unlucky? Does it become bad defense?
Yeah.
To which I responded, we're the second best defense in the league by the numbers.
Yeah.
Like, you can't help
pace.
Like that, like the Celtics game, we can hardly take anything from that game. Like I said earlier, no Miles, second half back to back.
Well, what do you
say? Shot 60%.
What do you take from Toronto?
We'll get to that. Stay on the Bulls for now.
That's what I'm saying. So question for you guys.
Yeah.
What's your takeaway from the Bulls game?
Give
me one takeaway, big takeaway from the game.
We talked about it last pod. Vic's going to continue to do his thing. I mean, so games against teams that are below 500, Vic will take it over in the fourth quarter. Now, that begs the question, what happens against teams over 500, playoff teams? We don't necessarily see that happen all the time. I mean, you go back and look at Vic's big shots. They're normally against teams that are struggling because the Pacers let them come back in the fourth quarter, or we were up by 20 and they made a surge, whatever that looks like. My takeaway is Vic will get us wins against bad teams in the fourth quarter.
Which is what you need. Yeah, that I'm with you there, because I feel like, you know, so Vic went for, what, 36 that night?
Mm-hmm.
So Vic, I mean, like, that to me was the first real feeling of, like, Vic is back. This game, he's playing at near all-star caliber play, what we expect out of our team leader. Super happy with that. Now, there were some scary moments. I mean, there was one point in the fourth quarter, you know, there, where, again, I just felt like we were going to lose that game.
The whole
fourth quarter, I felt like we're about to lose.
It was the moment, I think.
There's a possession where he gets the ball at like half court, and he like just loses it.
I was thinking.
Like, it was just like,
I was
what
thinking, there was a really scary part in that game as a fan, and it was when Chris Dunn baptized Miles Turner.
Yeah.
Because that put him up three. Then he turned around and jumped and forced a jump ball.
Yeah. And then.
And then there's a minute left. Holy crap, we're going to lose.
But then Lauri Markkanen hit that step back three, and I'm like, okay, Chris Dunn baptized. He then got the jump ball. Lauri Markkanen hit a step back three, who I looked at the stats afterwards. I forget what it was, but he like takes like 0.02 step back threes
for
his career. And splashes it. Zach LaVine's like 4 feet off the line, splashing. I mean, they stopped shooting.
I mean, it's one of those games where you look at the last shot that the Bulls took in overtime with 0.3 seconds left. Zach LaVine catches it, does a turnaround fadeaway three from the corner, and it goes in.
Yeah.
Luckily, he both stepped out of bounds and got it off late, but the ball still went in.
I know.
It's one of those things where if he had another six
it's
inches and another 0.2 of a second, we're going overtime. It's one of those things you look at. They hit everything late.
It was wild.
If you watch the game from the middle of the first quarter to about the last 3 minutes of the fourth quarter, you watch that span. The Pacers dominated that game.
Yeah.
The score is not going to reflect it, obviously, because they went to overtime. But in that moment, they outscored them big by, what was it, like 15, because they were down 15 earlier. That was Miles' first game with the mask, and he struggled, to be honest, until he hit that big three right before Vic's.
Yeah.
So the Bulls always play us well. They played us well last year. They played us well the first two games. Well, they played us well the first game in Chicago.
Yeah.
We kind of ran over them in Indy. But one of the big shots Vic hit last year was against the Bulls.
It's true.
They're a Central Division foe. They're always going to play the Pacers well. You're glad, excuse me, you're glad I got the win. Love seeing Vic drop 36 and have a hit another big shot. I was watching it with my dad. He banked it in. And I'm like, okay, he banked it in. I can't really celebrate this too much. And my dad just rolled his eyes because he banked in a three from 30 feet straight away.
Dude, I don't care, man. It was fun to watch.
It was a fun game.
I was probably rolling on the ground for the last entire overtime.
And Vic shot a shot that was long.
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't...
Never
fourth
happens.
Quarter, the dude is... I mean, if he misses, it's going to be short.
Yeah.
And so I see that thing go up, and I'm like, what just happened? I mean, I was thrilled. So, again, both games...
He's a couple feet off the line, too.
That was an exciting way to launch into the five games.
Yeah, it was.
I was super pumped about it. Then Toronto happened.
To me...
is this where it gets real somber? And,
yeah, he's real upset.
To me, I think this game, miles or not, we put up a poll on PGM. What's this five-game stretch talk about? There's a running theme here. There's a running theme. I think this five-game stretch had two running themes. One, that Vic is playing different. We talked about Vic playing different last podcast. He's playing different where he's wanting to score the basketball a little bit more. We'll get into that here in a minute. The other theme is that we can't stop teams that are good. We before going into this stretch, we were averaging 94.4 points per game given up. That comes with pace of play. That comes with all those things that kind of inflates that stat. But 94.4 is second best in the NBA. Over that five-game stretch, we gave up 118.6 points per game. Mm-hmm. This was not the Indiana Pacers that we've seen of old. And Derek Collison... when asked of this, he said there's stretches in the long NBA season where your defense doesn't show up, and they happen to be against the two best teams, some of the two best teams in the Eastern Conference. I tend to believe, okay, let's see, Toronto scored 121, the Cavaliers scored 115 on us, the Celtics scored 135 on us, and the Knicks scored 106 on us. Obviously, we just mentioned the Bulls scoring 116 on us. We didn't hold one team to the 90s, and when we hold teams to that 94, that 95 points per game, our record's unbelievable.
Yeah, you think back to our 7-game win streak before we lost to Cleveland and Toronto about 3 weeks ago. We were giving up, it was either 100 or 101 points per game over the past like 15 games at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And during that win streak, the number was like 95, 94.
Right. Yeah.
And to what Collison said, how there's parts of the season where your defense doesn't show up. There's parts of the season where your offense doesn't show up. I'm not saying that I don't disagree. He's played in the NBA for 8-9 years. He knows better than I do.
Mm-hmm.
If that's the case, it's really unfortunate that it happened against the Celtics and the Raptors, like you mentioned. Part of me thinks you'd get up a little bit more for those games, but like I said earlier, Miles is not there in either of those games. And both of those games, those teams absolutely splashed from three. And one thing about that is, okay, Miles Turner's a rim protector. He's not guarding the three-point line. We can't be so naive to disregard his defensive impact, because you watch early in those games that – the Raptors and the Celtics are either getting to the rim or pulling up from 15 feet.
Mm-hmm.
And their shots were falling. You can't fall. And they were hitting shots. You have to give credit where credit is due. But all that does is when they realize our best shot blocker in a game is Kyle O'Quinn followed by Victor Oladipo, all of a sudden they have the confidence to drive the lane. With Miles not being there, we have to help more with more bodies.
Yeah, but here's the problem.
And then that
opens
the three-point line.
Yeah, but here's the problem. We didn't have Miles. Well, who were they missing?
Yeah, but we were talking about but when you were talking about defense and then hitting so many threes, that's why they're hitting so many threes, is because Miles isn't there to keep them from getting to the rim. So then to compensate for him helping in guarding the rim, we have to take two players to help off of them.
They didn't,
and then they're hitting
one,
open
one
threes.
Of the top five players in the NBA on their roster. They didn't have him for the game.
Well, and then so, that's unfortunate. But if you watch, they hit 19 threes in that, or 17 threes.
And this
in
that is game. This is Kyle Lowry's first game back from a long stretch of absence.
But then you look
this
at
is,
the, you look at the Raptors' record.
This
which,
is
I
a,
mean,
I mean,
one
just,
of them
this
plays.
Is a game where you take advantage of a team missing their star and their point guard coming back off a long stretch.
I heard this stat the other day, and I'm going to be off by one game, I think. But when Lowry plays and Kawhi doesn't, or when Kawhi plays and Lowry doesn't, the Raptors are like 9-1.
Well, we can get a hole into –
so
Dal's
got a really good point here with the three-pointers. I mean, one, your facts are right. They hit 17 threes. So – so that I mean that's huge, but I mean they were 17 for 33 from the 3-point line at 51%. We were 4 for 17 from the three.
And I mentioned that in the Periscope, and it was troubling to watch them hit 17 and then look at the box score and see we only put up 17. There's a lot of reasons that can continue.
No. So I'm jumping to something else here, but here's the point for me. Just as with the Bulls game, it felt like Vic was back in Toronto.
He disappeared.
Where was he at?
Who's guarding him?
His plus minus was a negative 15.
Yeah,
but I mean, like it's like it's like what like that that transition can't happen.
You
from,
know.
And the other thing was this is what was really telling to me. So Sabonis, this was the game where it felt like yeah, Nate does know more than I do, and it makes sense that Sabonis comes off the bench because you saw an opportunity where he had the chance to shine. Where again. They had like one center on their roster playing that game. I mean, Greg Monroe, right, was the only true center that played the entire game, and he didn't dominate.
Something
I mean, like
something that I forget who said it was yesterday. I think they mentioned if Collison is hurt or doesn't play in tonight's game against the Suns, does Aaron Holiday start and you keep Corey Joseph coming off the bench?
With the bench unit,
but Corey plays 28, 30 minutes.
Yeah,
what
but
have you.
Nate doesn't like.
I'm a big proponent of that.
Nate doesn't like Aaron Holiday for some reason.
I think.
Yeah, which couldn't have been more obvious on this return.
Holy cow. I mean, play the guy.
Anyway, I'm a big proponent of that.
Huh?
when we have injuries, we've seen since they've both been here how effective Corey Joseph and Domantas Sabonis are together.
Mm-hmm.
And how effective they are against second units. And at times, they are good and great against some first unit kind of type of guys. But that's a great point.
Yeah.
He went up against Greg Monroe, who hasn't been his same self since he left Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
But he's still a big body, bigger than Sabonis is, probably strength-wise, I would be my guess.
Mm-hmm.
And Sabonis struggled against them.
Yep. Yeah, no, I agree, you know, but you got Danny Green's a good defender, but he only played 19 minutes. You know.
And you say who guards him.
Victor Oladipo.
You say who guards
minutes.
Him. Kawhi's not out there, but
you look,
Danny Green is known for his defense. And his
once again, played 19
Pascal
minutes.
Siakam is
Pascal,
huge
Pascal
in terms
Siakam's
of
long.
Taking up space.
He's long. I get that.
OG Anunoby is literally 3-and-D guy. That's
yeah.
what he is. They let's not.
They're a pretty deep roster.
Let's look at this game and say it's on the road where we struggle even if we have a full roster. We don't have Miles Turner, and the Raptors are really good.
Yeah,
it's not that we still scored 105 points. It's not like we went in there and played the worst game of all time,
mm-hmm.
and like they just ran away. They kind of ran away from us at the end, but we cut it to like 7, 8, 9 points in the third quarter. We were building momentum. Serge Ibaka hits this bonkers three. We get a rebound in the next possession. And Kyle O'Quinn is getting ready to pass the ball to someone up the court. And Kyle Lowry sneaks around him and, like, taps the ball up. And then they get a wide-open layup. Mm-hmm. Like, a fluke play like that takes it from 7 to 12.
Right.
And on the road, late in the fourth or late in the third quarter, mm-hmm. sometimes it's just tough to come back, especially when your best player has an off night.
Yeah. I think quickly we can talk about the Cavs. We can pretty much skip over them as much as we want. We dominated them. We played well. Sad thing is we only end up winning by 8, 123, 115 finish there. In Cleveland, Aaron Holiday played a whopping 0 minutes, which is just unbelievable. I don't get it. How can you, when Victor Oladipo's 11-game absence, play Holiday, him play that well, and you not even want to groom him in any way, shape, or form? I just don't understand it. It's frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
Alize Johnson, we just have Edmund. Like, we have guys that we need to get some run in. We get to figure out what we're going to do. Today is the January 15th, marker on Edmund Sumner. So, are we going to two-way him? Are we going to keep him on the 15 man? What are we going to do? I'm assuming we're just going to keep him with the two man so we can have an open roster spot. But we got to make that decision today. But it's just frustrating. We're not getting any guys time.
And something for that Cavs game is, we were up by, I remember we, it was like 38-16 after one. And I remember that because they scored 16 points and we hit 16 shots in that first quarter.
Yeah.
And I wanted to see Alize Johnson and Edmund Sumner and Aaron Holiday as much as anybody.
Who wouldn't?
But as much as it sucks that Nate didn't get them in, and you even looked at the Celtics game when we're down by 20 with 5 minutes to play. It hasn't been going. Terry Rozier hits two step-back threes in a row. Like, all right. At that point, it's kind of wave the white flag, put the guys in. Against the Cavs, our roster, our normal rotation, let the Cavs back in the game.
Yeah, but it's a blow. I agree. It's a blowout win, play your guys. But it's a blowout loss. We actually did end up playing those guys 6 minutes, 6 minutes, 4 minutes for Sumner, the 6 minutes for Aaron Holiday and Alize Johnson. But I don't know. Frustrating to me. Glad we got the win. But the story continues. We beat sucky teams. We lose to good teams. We beat the Detroits, the Celtics, we beat the Bulls, the Cavaliers, and then we get waxed by Toronto. We get waxed by Boston. And so let's jump quickly to the Boston game. Once again, Victor Oladipo had 17 points in this game.
Yeah.
He
had zero assists.
This
and
just
three
dawned
rebounds
on me, and I want to bring this up real quick. We mentioned Victor Oladipo's big shots against bad teams.
Yeah.
And how that seems to be a thread. Let's not forget that he hit a cold-blooded dagger against the Celtics earlier this season, and then the very next possession made the game ceiling steal.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna be the Pacers' best friend in regards to this game for a few reasons. And it's the fact that Vic had a big game at home against the Celtics, and in the regular season, if you're a playoff team hoping to advance, the whole goal is to get home court advantage. Has a big game against the Celtics at home, hits a major shot.
And this is the middle of their struggle.
Right, but then the Celtics turn it around for three or four games, run off three or four in a row. They literally shot like 58%. It's real. It might be 57, 59.
Almost 60%.
They shot and the ball at an unreal rate during this game.
Yeah.
They hit a good number of threes. I don't know the number. But then you look, the next night in Miami,
they got waxed.
They got waxed.
Yeah.
And then they've lost to Orlando, and they've lost to Brooklyn after this.
Yeah.
And as much as you want to say it's the Pacers see a big team and they crap themselves, I don't know. They're in Boston on the second night of a back-to-back without Miles, and Boston shot almost 60%.
We got shot out of the building again.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Just looking at the numbers again, I mean, they shot 56% from the field. Okay.
Well, they
shot
three.
43% from three.
Yeah.
They shot 87% from the free throw line. We shot 42% from the field, 32% from three, and we shot 63% from the free throw line.
We don't shoot free throws.
You're
well.
Not going to win a basketball game when that happens.
I don't know what happened with this team's free throw shooting
this
year.
It's gone.
It's abysmal.
We were a good free throw shooting team last year. Vic, something happened mid to late season last year with Vic's confidence at the line.
Yeah.
He is getting a little whacked out at the line. You look at Boston. Our two best players in my opinion were Domantas Sabonis, who had 27-5, and Tyreke Evans, who had 5-5-3. Or sorry, 15-5-3. He didn't shoot a good percentage, but I mean, you get the best Tyreke when you don't need it. I mean, we need Tyreke to put these numbers up against, when we have a chance to win the game. He got a lot of crap time, played 22 minutes, but it's just frustrating to me that this we talked about Sam Amick, you know, earlier in the day. He writes for The Athletic. He knows his stuff. We're just not in that top tier.
Yeah, that's what that was the big takeaway for me from that game was it was really just realizing it's like, okay, we are not elite yet.
And they turned it on when they wanted to turn it on.
I have a hot take about the Boston Celtics.
Let's hear it.
Right now, the way their season has gone, and let's remember, they're not like the Cavs teams. They do not have LeBron James. Their best player is Kyrie Irving, who routinely misses 30 games a year, at least.
And the only player on their team that's like shooting below 40% or something like crazy like that.
On paper, they're the best team in the East. Maybe Toronto gets them. Maybe.
Mm-hmm. They're the deepest, I would say.
On paper, they have the most talent, at least offensive talent in the league. Or not the league, in the East, my fault.
Yeah, and you're not going to say Brad Stevens is going to figure it out after 82.
But I mean, my thought is...
I'm waiting for the hot take.
Yeah.
I haven't heard it yet. Deliver it.
My hot take is they're not going to have home court advantage in the Eastern Conference playoffs. In the first round, they're going to be the most dangerous 5 seed of all time. Because they struggled to start the year. They won like 4 in a row at one point, and it was in the midst of like 8 of 11 or something like that. The last one of that, they waxed the Pacers.
So you're saying Philly?
And then they lost to Miami. They got smoked by Miami.
Philly, and
they lose to Orlando. They lose to Brooklyn. I don't think Philly. One of Philly and one of Boston will be the 5 seed.
Yeah, well, I agree with you, but Philly's worse than Boston. Philly's worse than Boston. Philly is going to be the 5 seed. Us and the Celtics are going to fight for that three and four spot. In my opinion, I mean, I think that's.
In my opinion, that's a lot. I think they'll turn it around for the end of the season. They have an interesting problem. They have a good problem.
Yes, they have a great problem. Where it's
like, you've got so much
talent. You've got Smart. You've got Rozier. You've got Brown. Hayward, who are looking to come off the bench.
Lock it in right now. They're a 5 seed.
I don't think so. Look at this real quick. We scored 30 points in the second quarter. That was the only time we touched 30. They scored 30 points in every quarter except for the first one. It was 29. In the second quarter, they scored 39. In the third quarter, they scored 37. They ran us off the gym when it
mattered. That's twofold. That's for two reasons, like I said, and they both come from the same thing.
And then
it's no Miles Turner.
Yeah.
There's no rim protector, which opens up the three-point line because people overcompensate to help. What we do need to look at this game is they have more offensive talent than we do. Without Miles Turner on the floor,
they scored.
They probably have more defensive.
We have no answer for Kyrie. So one positive. This is the only real positive takeaway from this game. For the first time, as a Pacers fan, TJ Leaf looked like he potentially could belong in the NBA.
He had nine points, four boards, something like that.
He was 3 for 4.
Eight points, two rebounds.
I mean, but just in general, I mean, what we've seen out of TJ Leaf has been non-existent. Yeah. Please don't ever put him on the floor. I mean, preseason or any time in the season. And for the first time, watching TJ Leaf move on the floor, hustling, trying to get some boards, I mean, it was like, okay, he may belong in the NBA. That is the best positive I can get out of this game.
You can't argue with him the fact that he looked horrible. Dude, you can't. He looked.
TJ Leaf, just the way he moves, he looks like he does not belong.
I understand that. It's the mustache that's not fully grown in. he looks just ugh. But you can't argue with the fact that he looked like a serviceable backup four.
Yeah.
And that's not what you want out of the 18th pick, ideally. And I know. The 18th pick. He's a first-round draft pick before 20.
Where is Aaron picked?
Okay, Aaron's played like
Aaron looks like a player.
He's played like 9 games. And that's
Aaron looks like a stud.
I know, and that's twofold. It's the fact that this draft was a little deeper than TJ Leaf's draft.
Yeah. And this coming draft
and
very, really shallow.
Kevin Pritchard's maybe only gaff so far is picking TJ Leaf, in my opinion.
I agree. What you got, Mitch?
No, so we got a few comments here, mostly from Ben. Again, we're doing this live on Periscope, so anything you shoot in, we'll try to answer it mid-podcast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ben, first off, said, can we just pass on the Boston game, which I think we all wish we could just move on.
I agree.
Play him again next week and hope it goes a little better. But second thing Ben said, which I think is what you're alluding to, Luke, is better hope that the Spurs don't drop to the four then.
Yeah. Because
if we got to play the Celtics and they're in the five spot, I think it's going to be rough once it comes playoff time.
Yeah, well, I mean, I would love to play. Obviously, I would like us to be the three, okay, and not have to worry about it. Go ahead and play a six seed of, you know, maybe it's a surging Charlotte or it's a Brooklyn. Or I mean, Brooklyn's playing really, really well right now. Actually, that's I said earlier in the PGM, that's one team I do not want to see in the playoffs is Brooklyn, just because they play like us. They play really, really hard. Kenny Atkins, he does a great job, Atkinson, and he's an awesome job. Regardless, I would like us to be the three, play the six seed, not have to worry about a Boston or a Philly. I would like to play Philly if we had to play one of the two teams. We'll get home court, obviously, for the four seed, but.
All right.
Well, we got
one more game. Let's just touch it. We got anything we want to say about the Knicks game?
It looked good. It was a wash. We should have beat the Knicks. Once again, the story continues.
We should have beat the Knicks. Our starters played well.
Domantas Sabonis continues to just dominate MSG. Had 22 and 15. Last time he played at MSG, he didn't miss a shot and had a 30-plus point double-double.
We didn't miss a free throw.
Yeah, which is a miracle. So, good things happened in New York. Let's bring it home. Let's play well when we're home. Thaddeus Young kind of commented on being pumped that he's home. Victor Oladipo, over the five-game stretch, had 105 points over that stretch, averaging 21 a game. He's kind of back to his scoring ways. That dominant 36-pointer we talked about early against the Bulls. It looks like he's playing kind of like what he did pre-11-game absence. His assists were down this five-game stretch. So he is kind of playing with that dominant role. I like him playing that way.
Good game.
Yeah. Good game. I think, it was, once again, that the one thing I would like to say is that Cantor situation is getting weird.
Yeah.
He's just a weird guy.
He's a weird guy. He's not making the overseas trip because he doesn't want to be targeted.
For his personal safety.
I totally understand that, but he eats like 10 hamburgers the next day.
Did you watch that?
Yeah,
thing?
The next day he's like out for illness. Like, yeah, no way. Obviously,
and
like,
yeah, bro, you ate like
yesterday. Yesterday he tweeted a picture, "New Year, New Me," and it's like a piece of salmon with vegetables.
Yeah,
it's like he's
a weird guy. Yeah. I think he's gonna be traded at the line. I think he might go back to the Thunder. That's my take. I think he's gonna join the Thunder, and I think that's the Thunder is the right fit for him, in my opinion. But we'll look at it.
All right.
Westbrook loves him, yeah.
We're approaching that hour mark. Luke, you said you got some trivia
you want to
drop on us
So last thing I'd like to do, let's see what our boys know. I got a trivia question for Mitch, question for Dallas, and we're done. I thought I chose pretty simple questions, okay?
All right.
Name the five players on the roster averaging over 12 points a game.
Okay. Is this me?
Yeah, it's you.
All right, we're going to go Thad. We're going to go Boyan. We're going to go Oladipo. We are going to go Turner. He's probably right above there. And we're going to go – did I say Sabonis?
You have not.
Sabonis is five.
Sabonis is the fifth. So Miles Turner is right at 12.0. Yeah.
Which is about where he was at last year.
Well, that's it's a decimal.
I wanted to see a little bit of growth, but he's basically playing – He's better defensively in ways that don't show up.
And that growth, I think, isn't being shown.
It's even
offensively. It's those first 10 or 12 games.
Yeah.
We were berating him for not playing well.
Yeah.
I'd like to see his numbers since whatever that
December
turnaround
was.
He had an unreal December.
Late November, early December.
Yeah. He had an unreal December. Like, from December on, I bet he's averaging closer to 15 would be my guess. But
all right, and then the name two players, not named Domantas Sabonis, which, unbelievably, he's shooting like 68% from three because he shot two or three, something like that. Not named Domas, that are shooting better than 40% from three.
Bogdanović and Collison.
Nope.
Is that Collison?
It's not Collison. Bogdanović and Doug McDermott. And I asked a question because we need to get Dougie more shots. Dougie just disappears in our offense.
Collison's got
to
be
so awesome. He's like 39%, I think that is.
Yeah.
I honestly forgot. I literally forgot Doug McDermott.
Yeah. Well, exactly. we locked up Doug. So, yeah. so we need it to work. We got to put some sets around it. He's going to be here for at least two more years.
He runs around like the J.J. Reddicks of the world, yeah. like the Kyle Korvers.
I love having Doug.
His movement is so similar. Let's just use him in that way.
He's young. I like Doug being on the team. Again, he's not done what we wanted for the money we paid him, but not great.
Right.
It's fine.
Now, Corey Joseph, 38%. Really proves my theory wrong. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah. You were saying last time he's not a good 3-point.
I don't think he – no, over his career, which I made – I'm solidified that point.
But then I said – since he's come to
– All right.
Yeah. Hey, well, listen.
Boys, we could talk for hours.
Let's wrap it up.
I think we're going to wrap it up here.
We'll be back next week. Once again, we're joining Pulse Podcast Network. Go follow them. A ton of just content about anything that you want. Download their app.
For free.
I'm going to show you. It's right here. This is what it looks like. The Pulse Podcast Network. It's just a simple app.
Yeah, and while Luke's pulling that up, you know, again, our format, you're going to see us on Periscope if you get on Twitter Live. Chime in, ask us questions. We'll try to answer them on the spot. You subscribe to us. You know, we're going to be on basically any podcast network you can find. Mm-hmm. You can download the Pulse app.
There at the bottom
things
right.
There. You're also going to see, you'll be able to find us on iTunes here soon. You'll be able to find us through the Anchor app. That's going to be the quickest way to find us. So subscribe to us, listen to our podcast, send in your questions, share with your friends. If you love the Pacers, blow it up.
Yeah.
I mean, we'd love to keep chatting with people.
PGM wants that conversation on Twitter all day. We'll be firing back, commenting who we are.
Real quick, we're real excited. We got a game tonight against the Suns.
That's right.
7 o'clock. Yep. We have to dominate that game as much as we've talked about. We're beating bad teams. We got to beat bad teams. Yeah. Then we get Philly. We get Luka, who I'm going to be there. I love Luka, as you guys know.
That'd be a fun halftime podcast.
That's what it's like. The future of the NBA is in good hands, man. You got Luka. You got Tatum.
Yeah.
They're both great. They're both great. Great people.
So hey, Phoenix, Philly, Dallas, Charlotte, and our 5-game homestand ends with the Raptors.
Yep.
So it's all going to come back together.
Another 5-game stretch where we have one of those teams, top 5 teams, or two of those top 5 teams. We had Boston and Toronto. Now we have Toronto and Philly. I want to see what we look like against the Torontos and the Phillies. We can't lose any of those games. We'll go 3-2 over this stretch again. I guarantee it. And we'll beat the 3 teams we should have, and we'll lose to the teams we shouldn't.
I'm going to be honest. Charlotte always plays this well.
Kimbo just goes...
And Dallas is good.
Let's just see Kimbo trade jerseys. Hey, I hate to do this. I got a quick question. Would you trade?
we gotta go after this.
Listen,
we've lost anybody that's made it to this point.
If you're the Mavericks, would you trade Dennis Smith Jr.?
I'd trade Dennis Smith Jr. for a washing machine.
Would you trade? He's good. Dennis Smith Jr. and a first round pick for Aaron Gordon.
I wouldn't, for one reason. Their cap space heading into next summer.
So they're giving us a first pick and Dennis Smith Jr.
No. So Aaron Gordon from Orlando is going to the Mavericks.
Aaron Gordon.
Yeah.
I say no because they have cap space and he's making whatever. He's like
24. Yeah, but then you have their centerpiece of.
I personally don't think Aaron Gordon is all that good.
I don't think he's great, but I think, Luka and Gordon
going forward. He's an inefficient scorer.
Luka and Gordon going forward with well.
I say no.
All right. Hey, thanks for tuning in to the PGM podcast. We love giving you content. We can't shout out about it. Go Sirs, signing off.
Go Pacers, signing off.